Greta Cunningham.
Thank you, Greta. 6 minutes now past 11. And good morning. Welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichner. Glad you could join us. Well, St. Paul is getting a new mayor, and today on Midday, we hope to get a better idea of just who that mayor might be and what they stand for. On September 11th, voters in the city will select two candidates to move on to the November general election, and voters will have plenty of candidates from which to choose. Incumbent Norm Coleman will not be on the ballot. He's not running for re-election, but 16 other candidates will be on the ballot. And today on Midday, we're going to talk with the six candidates who apparently have the best chance of surviving next month's primary and then moving on to the general election. Over the noon hour, we'll be talking with City Council members Jay Benanoff and Jerry Blakey, as well as State Senator Randy Kelly. This first hour of Midday, though, we've been joined by independent candidate Bob Kessler, former director of the city's Licensing and Inspections Department, as well as two former St. Paul City Council members, DFLer Bob Long, who served on the council from 1988 to 1994, and DFLer Bobby Meegard, who served on the council from 1994 to 1998. Now, if you have a question for the candidates, we invite you to give us a call here, but please, if you're actively working for one of the candidates, we hope you won't call. There's no practical way, of course, we can enforce that, but you already know who you're going to vote for, so let somebody else get their question in. The other thing, try to focus on issues that are of broader general interest rather than some specific pet peeve that you might have. With those caveats in mind, again, we do hope you'll give us a call here with your questions. 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, the toll-free line is 1-800-242-2828. Candidates, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
thank
Gary.
You.
Probably the best place to start here is to let each of you introduce yourselves to the listeners. A minute or so, if you would, to tell us who you are, why you're running, and why you think you're the best candidate in the race. And we should do this in alphabetical order, I suppose. Bob Kessler, that would mean you're first. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Gary, and good morning to your listeners. I'm the independent candidate that's running for mayor of St. Paul. And I've chosen to be an independent candidate to free me from party politics and from having obligations to special interest groups. What I have is 28 years of experience working for the city in a number of different jobs and positions, but also working as an appointed official for Mayors Latimer, Mayor Scheibel, and for Mayor Norm Coleman. And I've taken that experience that I've gained over the years to focus my campaign on a vision that's clear and simple. It's a city at work and a city that works. And by a city at work, I mean jobs, job training, and helping small businesses grow and reaching out to our immigrants and giving them the skills that they need. And a city at work that works is a city that has motivated employees providing good services to all our citizens. Like I said, I've worked for the city 28 years. I've lived in the city. I raised my family here. I've sent my children to its schools. I've also run almost every neighborhood in this city as a 19-year veteran of the Twin Cities Marathon. And I've got the passion and the determination to lead this city into the next few years.
That's Bob Kessler. Next up, Bob Long.
Well, thank you, Gary. And again, thank you to NPR and good morning to the listeners. You know, we've got a lot of good candidates to choose from, and you're going to hear from six of them today. But I think what the voters of St. Paul want to know is who is going to be able to best lead this city, because being mayor is about leadership, and it's about doing what's right for the city of St. Paul. And it really is, I think, the truth that the city of St. Paul and the people of St. Paul want a next mayor to be the number one booster of this city, to be a tireless, passionate advocate to keep the city moving forward, to be an energetic leader, an energetic promoter. That's what a good mayor does, and that's what we've seen, I think, in Mayor Coleman, and I think we saw that in Mayor Latimer. That's the kind of mayor that the city of St. Paul has come to expect. I will be that mayor. What the people of St. Paul want in the next mayor, I think, also, is somebody with a broad experience, somebody who's got both public sector service, private business experience, someone who's balanced budgets, someone who's met payrolls, and somebody who understands the average concerns of many working men and women. And I have that experience, both from the business sector and from my public service sector. But what the people of St. Paul don't want, and I agree with Bob on this, is they don't want a mayor who's so beholden to special interests that they can't make independent judgments. So I don't have any special endorsements either, but I am a Democrat, and I'm a common-sense Democrat running for mayor, and I hope to get your support September 11th.
All right, that was Bob Long, and now Bobby Meegard.
Thank you, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here and have an opportunity to speak to your listeners this morning. I'm Bobby Meegard, and I have had a lot of experience in the city of St. Paul. I think we've got a city that's on the verge of some real opportunities, and I hope to be the next mayor so that I can help bring those opportunities to fruition. I've had the honor to serve this city for more than 30 years as a city council member, as an executive director of a district council, as a director and president of the St. Paul League of Women Voters, and as a citizen leader. And I know that my record shows that I can build coalitions to get things done. I'm running because I love this city, and I believe that I have the most diverse experience of any candidate here. I have a small business. I've been a public servant. I'm a public school teacher by training, and I have worked at the neighborhood level in policy discussions with the Metropolitan Council's Land Use Advisory Committee. I serve now on the Family Housing Fund Board of Directors and on Habitat for Humanity. So I believe that I have taken my commitment to the city of St. Paul to the public arena as well as a volunteer in the private arena.
Okay, those are the three candidates that we'll be hearing from this hour, Bobby Meegard, Bob Long, and Bob Kessler. Bob's wherever you turn this hour.
We've had demerits because of that.
So this will be easy for me. I'll just ask a question and say, Bob? No, let me begin here. Norm Coleman presented his final budget yesterday as mayor of St. Paul, and for the eighth straight year did not propose any property tax increase. Some of the money that would be used to pay for city services would come from the budget reserve that the city has. Good public policy, or is it time to raise taxes
Absolutely
in the city?
Absolutely not good public policy, Gary.
This is Bob Kessler.
For example, if you didn't have enough money to pay your mortgage, would you feel comfortable taking money out of your savings to pay your mortgage? And that's essentially what Norm has done with this budget, to take $7.2 million out of savings to pay for ongoing costs of government. It is true he has a healthy fund balance, a healthy savings account, but the primary financial consideration should be not to use your savings to pay for ongoing expenses. And so the next mayor will have a choice. Does that mayor increase taxes or reduce services in order to reduce that reliance on that savings?
Well, I actually disagree with Bob Kessler on this. This is Bob Long, Gary. I think that he's right, that borrowing from the reserve is wrong. That's bad public policy. And I also disagree with the mayor's position to cut library and rec services. I think that sends the wrong message to families who are coming into our city. We want to keep them here. We don't want them to move out because we just cut their library hours. But I do disagree with Bob on this. I don't think it's a choice in this, like cutting services or cutting taxes, because I think, or raising taxes, excuse me, I think there are some major savings yet in the budget. And I'll give you one example. When I was finance chair of the city council, we looked at a number of city and county departments that have overlapping jurisdiction where we could still save in excess of $10 million a year if we began to consolidate city and county operations. Just one example. Merging our telecommunication 911 system between the city of St. Paul and Ramsey County would save millions of dollars per year. St. Paul taxpayers get double taxed because the county runs a duplicate system and levies that countywide. So I would like to applaud the mayor for keeping the tax at zero. I'd like to criticize him, though, for doing it by taking out his savings. I'd rather have him see it from cutting costs. And not, in this case, he increased spending by 8.2%, so that's not a fiscally conservative budget in that case.
And I want to add, too, that I would ask the city council to look very carefully at the taking fund balance reserves. This is a proposal by the mayor of St. Paul that will ultimately be decided by the city council. So there's a lot of horse trading that goes on between now and the 31st of December when you've tied it up. But I also know that the city of St. Paul has, for the past 8 years, taken in more revenue than it's spent. Now, that's not to say that we have neglected a lot of things, but we do have some excess in that fund balance from the time Norm Coleman came in. I believe it's wrong, and to cut library hours, to cut the amenities in neighborhoods, I believe we have to make sure that we have a budget that is fiscally responsible. But I also believe that we've got some areas in that budget which we can really look at. And as a candidate who is not tied to labor unions, I will do my utmost to make sure that we're not defending the status quo just because of union endorsements.
Well, that raises another issue. Now, the outgoing mayor, Mr. Coleman, has said that, let me see if I can get this quote correct. The inability, he said, is quoted as saying, the inability to challenge the unions will be the death of the city. He said the reason for that is that it's just going to drive city costs up, up, and up, and that what the answer here, in his mind, is to put some public services or more public services up for competitive bidding.
Would you folks agree with that? I would have to say that in the beginning, as a city council member, one of the earliest votes I took was not to turn over the asphalt plan to private entities. We don't need to give away our public assets like our parks and other entities that we use. I think that Norm, this current mayor, has had a really bad relationship with the unions of the city, except for a few. And I think that what we need in the new mayor is to make sure that those ties are not there, so you can really take a hard look at the fire department. You can take a hard look at the police department. And you can take a look at where we have places that we can cut. And I believe that I'm a free woman in that respect.
Gary, I think my position would be this on this. We're really about to hire, publicly hire a CEO of a $500 million a year publicly funded corporation here. And you can't hire a CEO that automatically goes in with a vested interest with one particular union group over another. I mean, I'm not anti-union. I'm very pro-labor. But you can't go in and have a vested interest with Randy Kelly, for instance. He's got the police and fire endorsements. It'll be very difficult for Randy to propose the kind of savings I just proposed, because the police and fire unions will oppose that every step of the way. And he's going to owe part of his election if he were to win to those groups. Same with Jay Benanoff, who will be listing here shortly. When you go in with the total support of one union, it takes things off the table, and a mayor has to have the independent judgment to say everything has got to be on the table to look at what's best for St. Paul. That's the difference. And I think it's not an anti-union message, because I've been very pro-labor, but it's got to be an independent judgment message to say no sacred cows when we're looking at the best interest of the overall city budget.
That was Bob Long. Bob Kessler?
One of the things that drives the discussion about privatization is the assumption that somehow private business is much better at managing things than the public sector. See, I don't say that. Think that that's necessarily true. I think it's about management in general. There's good management in the private sector, and there's poor management in the private sector. The same for the public sector. So the focus should be on good management, efficiency, running those services in an efficient way as possible. And it doesn't mean, you know, opening up the checkbook to the labor unions, but working with them, asking for their accountability and their hard work in return for the jobs that they have.
Let's get to some listener questions here for the candidates. Mary Catherine, you're first. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you very much. I actually have a couple questions. The first one is, I recently moved to St. Paul. My husband and I are both teachers, and we had a really hard time finding a house that was affordable to us. And we ended up buying a little smaller, a little fixer-upper. But I'd like to know from the candidates what specific ideas they have to create some affordable housing for folks like us.
Okay, and the other question?
The other question is more about some of the shootings that have occurred in St. Paul in the last year or so, and what they would do to curb gun violence in the city.
Okay. All right, housing, a big issue for a lot of folks.
Well, I would like to jump in, if I may, to begin this discussion. Housing has been my top priority in this entire campaign. We must be looking for housing at all income levels and in every neighborhood. And we've got to make sure that our city resources are addressing the issue of housing. Our problem is that we don't have a large enough supply of housing, and so that is bidding things up. And I recently came across a statistic that I think is really telling. Since 1994, rental rates have increased by 49%. Now that is an issue of affordability. So we need to create new housing at all income levels in every neighborhood, and we need to create new rental housing.
Gary, housing is the number one issue, I think, in this mayor's race. We have a crisis in St. Paul, as many cities do, around the availability of housing of all income levels. And I actually had a long experience and served on the Minneapolis-St. Paul Family Housing Fund Board. I served on the Overnight Shelter Board. So it's been one of my top interests since day one in this race. I think it's really around three issues. We got to preserve the affordable housing stock we have. We need to rehabilitate both multifamily and single-family homes that are already built and make sure we're doing that at an affordable rate so that they are in turn affordable once they're finished. And we need new construction. And we need it for all income levels. We need to build more senior housing. We got a lot of people trying to sell their single-family homes in St. Paul who are moving out to Woodbury and Mendota Heights right now because they can't find senior housing in St. Paul. So that's number one. We've got to build more affordable multifamily housing. And the way to do this is it's both money and priorities. The mayor has been very successful, Mayor Coleman has, with the Downtown Riverfront Development Corporation, leveraging millions of dollars from foundations. I want to create the Neighborhood Redevelopment Corporation using $100 million of private foundation money to have seed money to help us bring down the cost of land acquisition and construction and rehabilitation so the units we build are, in fact, affordable. And turning for a moment to the gun violence question, I think the caller is absolutely right. We have had a couple of recent shootings in the last couple of weeks that point out the fact that we cannot tolerate gun violence in the city. I formed the Ramsey County Gun Violence Action Team some years ago, and I can tell you right now that as mayor, we are going to say to people, leave your illegal guns outside of St. Paul, because we're going to have an aggressive enforcement effort to go away and take guns away from folks who shouldn't have a 14-year-old boy shooting another boy with a gun. That's an illegal gun in a car. And we can take away people's cars for anything from prostitution to carrying illegal crappie over the limit. We can take away people's cars for transporting illegal guns, and we'll do that if I'm mayor.
Okay, Bob Kessler, let's finish the housing discussion, and then I want to get
I'd like to.
Bob Kessler.
I'd like to, and I think they've framed the issue very well, and I like Bob's description of the kind of resources that need to be brought together. But you have to focus the bureaucracy, the organization, on making housing a number one priority. And that's why I've called for the creation of the Department of Housing and Small Business Development. Right now we have a Department of Planning and Economic Development, and their agenda is very broad. And we need to focus them on housing, on affordable housing, and bring together everyone in the city that works on housing. We have several different offices scattered throughout the city organization, one of which spends all their time issuing code orders to have housing demolished. I would like to have those people sitting down in the same department with those that are responsible for creating more housing and see what we can learn and what we can do together. Rehabilitation is important, focusing that bureaucracy, using the resources, and then making it the number one priority. Another thing, when I was the director of licensing and inspections, we cut the permit fees, the building permit fees for affordable housing, by 75% with the obviously with the strong support of the mayor and the city council. We need to continue that next year, not let that program die at the end of 2001.
Gun violence.
I am a board member of Citizens for a Safer Minnesota. I closed a gun shop while I was city council member on Snelling Avenue. It is possible for us to get guns off the streets in St. Paul. And we have to make sure that at the state level, we do not allow concealed weapons to go forward as has been proposed. We're in a fight right now with the NRA, and we cannot continue unlimited gun sales through these loopholes in the gun shows that we have at XL Center. We can't continue allowing guns to be purchased in excess numbers. I'm in favor of one gun a month. I'm in favor of closing the loopholes for the gun shows at the XL Center, and I believe that it is possible with a strong mayor who is behind gun control, and we have not had that for 8 years. We can get the guns off the street in St. Paul. We can't continue to have our neighborhoods torn apart because of random shootings. And when we went down to the Frogtown parade the other day, we walked over a body in the middle of the street that had been lying there since early morning. Unacceptable in a city with a police department the size of ours. There's got to be an answer.
Bob Kessler.
Well, you know, Gary, I'm a Vietnam veteran and spent some time in a medical battalion in Vietnam. So I have seen firsthand what gunshot wounds do to the human body, something I'll never forget. And as a result, I understand how important it is to get guns out of the hands of people that use them to harm other people. So I would agree wholeheartedly with both of my opponents here that it's a serious issue, and it's the one that the mayor has to provide leadership for. And my job back in the mid-90s was to recommend approval of that gun shop on Snelling Avenue, because legally they had the right. And as the mayor, you have to uphold the law. but I think we need some changes in the law in this regard.
And Gary, let me just add one thing. I didn't realize you were going to separate them out. So let me say this. I think we all agree that we cannot tolerate the level of gun violence we've seen in our city or across the river. The question is, what can the mayor do about it? And there's some issues we preempted by state law from enacting tougher gun control laws, which frankly I wish weren't the case, but that is the case. So the number one issue is leadership, but it's a focusing of police resources to treat the illegal weapon as the offense, not wait till the offense is committed with the illegal weapon, but to go actually seek out the illegal weapons. And that can be done in a constitutional manner by having a gun tip line where people call in and we know where there are legal guns, use the basis for legal search warrants to go in and take out of houses and out of cars illegal weapons and take them off the streets and prosecute people fully for possessing and for selling the illegal guns. That's the key.
Let me ask each of you before we get one more caller on here, then we'll have to break for news, but kind of a yes or no answer, if you would, please. Police Chief Finney, his term expires, I believe it's 2004. If you're elected mayor, would you reappoint him?
Absolutely.
Bob Kesselman?
Absolutely.
Bob Long?
Probably.
I would have to say that I would not reappoint any individual who is automatically given a six-year term by the city charter without full evaluation. With a full evaluation and looking at the record and looking at the management capabilities of this chief, possibly. But I am not going to pledge unequivocally that we will have the same chief while I am mayor of the city of St. Paul.
Joel, quick question before we break for news.
Yes, every candidate but Bob Kessler said they will hold the line on tax increases. What specific proposals do the candidates have for doing that? Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I'll start by saying I think there are a lot of things that we can do with creative financing. For example, we now take money for our tree program, both buying new trees and trimming trees, millions of dollars each year from that general fund. So it has to compete with libraries, police services, and fire services. Traditionally, we assessed for those services like we do alley and street maintenance, and I think that's what we should do. Therefore, that would give us additional money that we could use for getting rid of that use of fund balance, as well as providing resources for other more important priorities, and doing that without raising taxes.
Bob Long?
Well, three specific ideas. One, I think the mayor of St. Paul has to play a leadership role at the state capitol. So much of our funding is determined by the state capitol in terms of local government aid, fiscal disparities, and other state and federal aids. That's key to have that leadership. I will do that. Secondly, it is about continued economic expansion in terms of broadening our tax base, both in terms of property taxes and the franchise fee revenue that comes in off of the commercial and industrial activity in St. Paul. And the third is something I mentioned earlier, and that is we do have, I think, between $5 and $10 million of savings left in our city budget by consolidating city and county operations that overlap and cause double taxation on St. Paul residents. I would eliminate those. We would form a joint operating budget commission made up of council members and county commissioners that would pair through that and cut the city's tax levy by getting a broader county levy for those services that we're paying twice for in St. Paul.
Bobby Mingard?
Yes, I want to just jump in quickly to say that we do have a joint property tax committee in place already where we do discuss with the county and the school district and the city duplication of services. There's a whole list of things that we've already done. We've combined and consolidated the public health department. There are more things we can look at, I would agree. But in terms of not raising taxes, there are specific things that I believe we can do. We can retire the tax increment districts as quickly as possible. Those are taking money not only from the city, but also from the county and the school district. We can reduce our debt, I think, by refinancing some of our bonds as the interest rates come down, if Mr. Greenspan and company keep going in the direction they're going. I also believe that we can, as a new administration, make it crystal clear to our representatives in Congress and our representatives at the state level that the urban core needs help. We cannot continue to make sure that housing is the sole responsibility at the local level. This is where the state, the federal government, and the Met Council have to come to the table, help us clean up our brownfields, help us do housing, and help us make sure that our infrastructure is strong. Local government cannot do it alone, and if we are expected to do it alone, then we're looking at those unfunded mandates and increases in taxes. I will be a mayor who lobbies to make sure that doesn't happen to us.
We're talking with candidates for mayor of the city of St. Paul. Three candidates have joined us this hour. Three more will be on the air over the noon hour. And again, if you have a question for the candidates this hour, former city council members Bobby Meegard, Bob Long, and longtime city licensing and inspections director Bob Kessler, give us a call here at 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. We'll get to more of your questions in just a couple of minutes.
I'm Steve Inskeep. The Consumer Product Safety Commission monitors products you buy, but manufacturers wanted to monitor a little less closely.
The sooner we get a level of trust again between the commission and the manufacturing community, the better off everybody will be, including consumers.
So do we need the Consumer Product Safety Commission? Join Juan Williams on the next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation is on the air at 1 o'clock here on Minnesota Public Radio. The programming you're enjoying right now is a generous gift from listeners like you, and we thank you. News headlines, here's Greta Cunningham. Greta?
Thanks, Gary. Good morning. The Federal Reserve says American industry is coming off its 10th straight month of declining production. Fed officials say industrial output fell 0.1% in July. The decline was slightly smaller than had been anticipated, and in fact is the best showing for the U.S. industry since last September. The report adds to the ongoing signs of sluggishness in the U.S. economy and likely will do little to change the belief that the central bank will again cut interest rates when it meets next week. Time is running out for Texas death row inmate Napoleon Beasley. He's facing execution tonight for a 1994 murder committed when he was 17. His bid for a stay failed in a divided U.S. Supreme Court. Three Supreme Court justices voted for a reprieve and three voted against. Three of the justices abstained on grounds that they know the son of his victim. Under the court's rules, a tie vote means the request for a reprieve is denied. Firefighters are reporting some progress in battling fires in the West. They've surrounded Nevada's biggest wildfire and say they're getting the upper hand on some other big blazes in the state. Thousands of firefighters are battling hundreds of fires across the West. Billionaire Steve Fawcett is closing in on the halfway point of his around-the-world balloon trek. Fawcett is expected to reach South America today after 10 days high above the South Pacific. He has traveled more than 11,000 miles in his helium-fueled Solo Spirit balloon since launching August 4th from Australia. In regional news, endurance swimmer Jim Dreyer has set off in his attempt to swim across Lake Superior and become the first person to swim across all five Great Lakes. Dreyer is set out this morning from Grand Portage at the extreme northeastern tip of Minnesota. He plans to swim 62 miles to F.J. McLean State Park on Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Dreyer expects the swim to take up to 55 hours. The forecast for Minnesota today calls for showers and thunderstorms likely in the east and south. There's also a chance for showers and thunderstorms in the northwest. Highs today mainly in the 70s. Right now in Austin, a report of light rain in 63. It's partly cloudy in Rochester in 62. Overcast in Duluth in 64. And in the Twin Cities, cloudy skies with a temperature of 70 degrees. Gary, that's a look at the latest news.
All right, thanks, Greta. 26 minutes before noon, this is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. And today we are talking with the leading candidates for mayor of St. Paul. September 11th, voters will select two candidates to move on to the November general election. Today we are talking with six of those candidates to try to get a better idea of who they are and what they stand for. Over the noon hour, we'll be talking with city council members Jerry Blakey and Jay Beninoff, as well as State Senator Randy Kelly. This hour, former city council members Bobby Meegard and Bob Long and former city licensing and inspections director Bob Kessler are here to take your questions. Give us a call at 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828. By the way, the question has come up now. How did the candidates get selected for the first hour or the second hour? Well, it was a complicated process we went through. We lined them up alphabetically is what we did, and that's how we ended up with the groupings that we did. Candidates, I'm interested. Now, the mayor does not have any direct control over the schools in the city of St. Paul, but clearly the school system is a real big concern to people who live in the city and who are thinking about living in the city. Anything, if you're elected mayor, anything you would do to try to make sure that the schools are as good as they can be?
Well, Gary, I'll jump in. Bob Long. Yeah, it probably has been the number one question that has come up as we've been out talking to people is the future of our educational system and what's the mayor and the city going to do and what's their role. this is a good case, again, I think, of the mayor performing leadership. It is really crucial that the mayor of St. Paul, whoever of us get elected, take the educational issue as one of our number one priorities to bring not just the school district together, but the entire community together to focus on how we improve educational performance in our schools. Because it's not just about teachers and just about schools. It has a lot to do with many other factors. Housing stability, how many months out of a year can a kid stay in one school if they got to move four times? It has a lot to do with early childhood issues, after school learning opportunities, starting times and ending times of school days have come up. So what I will do as mayor, I will, in the first 90 days, call an educational summit that will bring together both the academic community, not just our own public and private schools, but our colleges and universities, which we have more per capita than any other city other than Boston, but the business community, the religious community, to talk about how we as a community can commit ourselves to improving the educational performance. And some of it will be around school issues, some will be around social issues. How do we make the schools safer for kids to learn when they're there? How do we get drugs out of schools? How do we get truancy reduced? Those are all issues that affect school performance that the city has some role in.
Bob Kessler?
Well, I agree that education is very important. And I've sent my children to the St. Paul schools. My wife is a St. Paul school teacher. And I think I understand the important vitality that schools provide to the community and how the mayor should be, like Bob says, the number one promoter of the St. Paul public school system and do everything that the mayor can to focus attention on the good things that are happening in the St. Paul schools. When my daughter Allison graduated from St. Paul Central in 1997, it had the greatest number of National Merit Scholarship finalists than any other high school in the United States of America. I mean, that's an incredible accomplishment, an incredible school with dedicated teachers. We need to focus on that. I've made the commitment as mayor to attend every school board meeting that is humanly possible during my first year as mayor to begin to develop the relationships that we need to make between our two organizations. For example, the school district recently put in 110 T1 lines to connect their computer systems in all their schools, and the city has an institutional fiber that could be used for virtually free, and we could save thousands and perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars if we learn how to cooperate and work together.
Bobby Meagher?
Yes. I just want to let your listeners know that of all of the candidates in this race, I am the only public school teacher. I have been in those classrooms. I know what it's like, and I believe that we do have wonderful schools in this city. But we have heard a great deal of concern about public education, and I think that the mayor needs to be a promoter of the public school system, because the perception of a school district really is a perception of an excellent city. Both Minneapolis and St. Paul have real work to do here. The New Citizens League report tells us that only a half of the ninth graders in both cities actually graduate in 4 years. So we're doing a lot of remedial work. We've got a school system that is filled with new Americans who are struggling with English as a second language, with poverty issues. This is going to take state funding. And as mayor, I will be at the state legislature urging that that state funding come to us to help us with poverty issues and with language issues. We also have to make sure that we bring higher education into this equation, because we have great resources in our colleges. The other thing I want to just point out very quickly is that St. Paul has a wonderful opportunity for parents coming into this city. We have wonderful school choices. We have magnet schools, we have charter schools, we have private schools. But I would remind our listeners that 90% of the children in the system actually have no choice, and they are in our public schools. And it is incumbent upon us as city leaders to make sure they have the very best education they can possibly have, and that we are concentrating on workforce development so that the city and the region can compete globally, because people now can work anywhere they like. And we need to be able to have the best educated workforce possible to attract business to St. Paul and the Twin Cities.
Sally, your question for the candidates, please.
Thanks. I'd like to ask each of the candidates how they stand on the Idmill Road issue. whether or not they would, as mayor, connect Ad Mill Road to 35, or whether or not they'd support the idea that a lot of neighborhoods have had about turning it into a park. And also, as a mayor, how will you go about making these kind of controversial decisions when you have different interests pulling at you, businesses and also neighborhood groups?
Okay. Well, let's separate those. Thanks, Sally. Mm-hmm. Let's separate those two into two, just a quick answer from each of you, if you would. Bob Kessler, would you support connecting the Ad Mill Road to 35E?
I do support connecting it, but it's the way we connect it that is the critical issue that needs to be answered.
Bob Long?
You know, it's an age-old question. It's a pretty complex one. I have thought for a long time that connection, at least the southern end, made some sense. I actually, in seeing the environmental impact statement that have come through recently, I'm not so sure that that is a good idea anymore. And I think the issue for me is how do we get people out of their cars coming through that corridor? And the answer, I think, does not lie anymore in connecting that. It relies in using that railroad track along there as a commuter rail line that will get the suburban commuter that's coming from the suburbs into our Midway area. That's causing most of the traffic. It's not local traffic. And so the question is, how do we do it? I think it's cheaper, faster, and more environmentally friendly to use as a commuter rail line and turn Ad Mill Road into not a park, but a two-lane parkway with amenities. Most of this could be done with federal commuter rail funding.
Bobby Meegarden?
Yes, I have been on record from the time I was on the city council of favoring the connection of Ad Mill Road as a two-lane street, more residential rather than four lanes. And the city council has opted for a four-lane highway. There is no money for that. I don't believe it's going to be connected, and I think it needs to be resurfaced. But I do think, and I would like to disagree with Mr. Long, we use it. Those of us who live here use it. I used it twice today. So I'm not sure it's just a connection for southern suburbs. We use it, and it needs to be resurfaced. And I also know from the business community at Selby and Snelling and from University Avenue, they want a connection, and there needs to be a better solution. I am not in favor of turning it into a park.
Okay, give us an idea, if you could, and this is sort of an open-ended question, I guess, and we could be here all day talking about this, but if you can, give us some sense of how you balance competing interests on an issue like this. I mean, everybody has an opinion in the city of St. Paul and some people outside the city as to what ought to happen with a road like that. Many of those positions are held passionately. They've been thought through. And so you as mayor, how are you going to balance those interests? Bob Kessler?
Well, I think a lot of it will have to come out of a planning process where we actually re-engage our community, all segments of our community, in the development of plans about issues that affect us vitally. And we haven't done that for many years. When I started as a city employee in the early 70s, I started as a city planner. We had 24 professional planners that were doing community neighborhood planning. We don't have that today. We have 11 planners, and they're doing something called project planning. They're reacting to things as they come up. So we need to bring the communities together. One of the benefits from that is that you develop relationships and trust with the members of your community. So when you have a controversial issue, pitting neighborhoods against the suburbs, for example, you have the relationships to sit down and work out a compromise where everybody has to give a little bit, and that's what the mayor has to do, bring people together, make those decisions that are best for the community.
And I think,
Bob Long?
Gary, I think it's part listen first and act later on some of these. This Ad Mill controversy is one of many. We have the ethanol plant controversy, the West 7th Street busway, the Como bus routing controversy, the Unidale Mall dislocation controversy. And I think all of them stem from a simple problem, and that was that there was almost zero input from the immediately impacted community through City Hall prior to the plans being announced. And frankly, not only did that cause major problems, it's hard to regain the trust and confidence after the fact, but the product isn't as good because you don't get the good input up front. So the difference, I think, in my administration would be twofold. First of all, I would restore a very critical position in the administration that has disappeared under Mayor Coleman. That is the position of the citizen participation coordinator that used to be in our planning department. That person was the person who got the information out to all the affected neighborhoods, and we sought input input through neighborhood meetings about what's the best way to handle all these controversial meetings. And secondly, I will take very seriously the input of citizen advisory groups. I will welcome that input. We will work with it. In the end, it's like anything. There's got to be compromises. But if people know they were listened to and they were at the table and seriously listened to, then the product is better and the ultimate result is better.
Bobby Meegard.
Well, I'm a community organizer in my background, so I've been in these situations where you go and you listen to neighbors and you have a place for public dialogue. That's what the district council system in this city provides. And under this administration, it's been ignored. I also think that the city council isn't listening to the neighborhoods the way we did years ago. But for me, it'll be easy to take a position after we've had full discussion of an issue. Conflict is part of public policy making, but out of conflict, you very frequently get the very best decisions. You can't please everybody in this business, but I can tell you I will be a mayor who stands up and takes a position after weighing ultimately what is best for my city. That's the bottom line for a mayor. What makes the most sense for my city? And that will be the basis of decisions I make as mayor.
Andy, your question for the candidates?
Yes, thank you. I was wondering how they would go about making downtown St. Paul more user-friendly so that people would want to go there after 6 at night.
Well, I would like to start this one. I think that, we've put a lot of money into downtown St. Paul. If it's not user-friendly now, then what have we not done? And for me, the answer is we've only done one part of what we need to do. We've built a lot of buildings. We've done a lot of investment in edifices downtown. But the one thing we don't have are people. We need to make sure that we have housing downtown like Minneapolis. Minneapolis has more than 20,000 residents downtown. We're still struggling with 6. Now, the new housing that's going is going to help. But I have to say that the biggest safety issue for any downtown is having people down there. And you can still shoot a cannon down 4th Street at 6 o'clock at night. And after all of this money, we've spent billions of dollars downtown. And we still have a downtown that doesn't feel very safe at night. And I believe that housing and retail activity, retail follows rooftops. Will bring back that feeling of comfort for people who visit downtown.
Bob Long?
Gary, I think it's a great question because clearly a lot has been done downtown, but we need to do a lot more. We need to keep the momentum going. That's been the theme of my campaign, keep St. Paul moving forward, keep that momentum going in downtown while also putting some more emphasis into the neighborhoods. I think it's a three-legged stool. It's attracting more employment base to downtown, so going after companies like Lawson to bring them downtown, PDI, which we almost had, hopefully can get again, that's important. I will personally be out seeking small and medium-sized startup companies to fill up a lot of those old buildings downtown that the startup tech companies love, and our Cyber Village in Lower Town is a good example. I think Bobby's correct. Housing is also the second leg of the stool. We need to get more housing built. I support every single project that's on the drawing boards right now and want to do more of it. I might take a shot at my two other opponents on the next panel because both Jay and Jerry Blakey voted against a great project that brought both new jobs and housing to downtown. They voted against the U.S. Bank project on the west side of the river, which had 1,000 to 2,000 new jobs on an old polluted site and 700 to 900 units of housing. That's not a vote that a leader should vote against. It's a tremendous thing. And the third thing is tourism. We will make St. Paul the visitor and tourism capital of the Upper Midwest with me as the mayor, and it will be about building on our cultural district downtown, our entertainment district, and we're going to create the great Mississippi Trail that will be like the Boston Freedom Trail that will hook up all these great attractions and be a permanent year-round walking and biking trail along with the temporary Snoopy's and Charlie Brown's, and next year, I guess Lucy is the one we're talking about right now.
Bob Kessler?
Well, I would look at that rejuvenated Department of Housing and Small Business Development to be the key, to be the leader. And it is about small business development throughout the community, but especially downtown. So when you come out of the arena, you come out of the Yardway, you've got some place to go. And Patty Peterson is real excited about the new jazz location that's going to go in on St. Peter Street. That kind of small business entertainment is a key to downtown, and I agree that the safety is a primary concern. You have to make sure that the streets are safe. And I am concerned about some crime issues downtown St. Paul, and believe that you have to make sure that there is no question about the personal safety for people. So small business development, focus on housing, and make sure that downtown is safe.
Quick yes or no type answer. Would you support, or do you support, did you support the notion of giving Dayton's a subsidy to renovate their store, especially given the controversy over a disclosure of living wages and the rest? There's the link, of course, in the city linking subsidies to living wages. Was that a good idea, Bobby Meagher?
I went downtown and spoke in favor of giving the assistance to Dayton's. Dayton's is a commercial resource for our downtown. And it wasn't about the living wage ordinance, in spite of what certain city council members would tell you. It was not about new jobs. It was about retaining a company that was already here. I, along with David Thune, helped write that living wage ordinance, and it's about new jobs. It's not about retaining a commercial resource. So in my estimation, it didn't apply in this case. There's been a lot of controversy over something that particularly Mr. Benioff didn't seem to understand.
Bob Long?
Well, yes, absolutely. Good mayors lead, and good mayors know to keep their number one retail in downtown. And if you lose Dayton's, that's been down there for over 50 years, how do you attract the next retailer into downtown? You can't do it. So it had a very important message for that reason. I agree with Bobby. I think there's a lot of hyperbole about this. I support the living wage. But frankly, not only is it not applied to rehabilitation projects under state law, but Dayton's does pay a living wage. They pay $8.50 an hour, plus health and dental, which puts them over the 902, so they met the living wage. It became a real political football, and I guess I would say that Jay really was wrong on that, because if you let Dayton's go, you cannot then attract the next retailer downtown. It's about momentum, and the minute you vote to kick Dayton's out of town, as Jay did, you send a message that will be far and wide the cry that says St. Paul can't support retail.
Bob Kessler?
Well, I certainly agree. Dayton's is absolutely essential, but I'd just like to point out to Bob Long, they haven't been downtown 50 years. I'm old enough to remember that it was Schunemann's, and it was Dayton Schunemann's, that happened in the 60s, Bob.
Well, of course, Dayton's has left St. Paul now.
Yeah, it's new name. Marshall Fields.
Marshall Fields. Quick question here, Tom, before we wrap up.
Yes, my question is a follow-up to the last question with the revitalization talk of downtown. It's a two-part question. Number one, do you support? And number two, what will you do to bring a baseball stadium and the Twins to St. Paul? Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Bob Long, you want to start
with this
one? I can jump
in. Well, let me say this. I would love to see the Minnesota Twins in downtown St. Paul, and I would love to see a stadium over here. Here's the issue. It's all about financing. I believe that a downtown stadium would be wonderful for St. Paul, just as the XL Hockey Arena has been wonderful, and I would pursue it. I would pursue it, though, with a different approach than Mayor Coleman. First of all, I would not support a new general tax to finance any portion of the arena, the stadium. And I believe, after having looked at it pretty carefully, that if the Pohlad family does commit half of the cost, as they've said they would, and if Major League Baseball makes the reforms they've said they would, which shares national advertising revenue with the local team, we actually could come up with the local matching money, not from new tax, but from a self-supporting set of revenue streams from the baseball stadium itself. Parking, concessions, advertising, and parking around the perimeter. That's how we could do it. And I think we have a better shot of it than Minneapolis, because they have a restriction in their charter that we don't.
Bob Kessler?
Well, I certainly agree with Mr. Long. I think that the Twins would be a great asset to our community. I'd love to be able to sit at the stadium and watch a barge go by in the river. But it is about balancing public financing resources. And baseball, I don't think, has its act together. And I think they need to get their act together before we can seriously talk about how we would put this financing package together. It'd be a lot of work, have to crunch a lot of numbers, and you have to, I think, get the confidence in the part of the citizens that the deal is good for the taxpayer.
Bobby Meagher?
Yes, I certainly have no objections to a new stadium, and that's probably a negative way to go about it, but it's not my top priority. I believe that we can do this if the financing is done correctly. I would be a mayor who competes aggressively with Minneapolis and Bloomington for such an amenity. Amenities in the city bring people downtown, and so I think it would be a great thing. But I have to say to you that we have an obligation as a city for any arena or any stadium. We will have to provide the infrastructure to make it happen, and that will be bonding, and those will be things that the city has to provide. The city does that because it also benefits. And I think that there are ways to do this, provided the owners come forward, but the financing package is the key. I am not in favor of adding an entertainment tax downtown, because I believe that our downtown entertainment area right now is too fragile. I don't think it's well enough established. Thank you.
I want to give each of you a minute here to give a little pitch for the votes, to the voters, rather, before we wrap up. And let's do this in reverse alphabetical order, if we could. Bobby Meegard, that would put you first.
Thank you very much. I do appreciate this opportunity. I believe that everyone in St. Paul will stand behind a leader who is committed to being mayor, not someone who is committed to looking for a stepping stone to the next political office. I have served this city I love for more than 30 years, and I'm ready to take my knowledge and my experience to City Hall. I'm ready to help bring neighborhoods and people together to make St. Paul a more vital city, because I believe that the best St. Paul is a united St. Paul, and that is the theme of my campaign. That's what I'm out telling people, and they are being very responsive. I ask for your support. I want to be your mayor, and I will work unceasingly to be the best mayor that this city has ever had.
Former City Council member Bobby Meegard. Bob Long, you're next.
Well, Gary, thanks again to you and NPR for putting this on. I think it gives everybody a chance to hear the candidates, and they need that with 26 days left to go. I do think the people of St. Paul want an energetic mayor who will be a leader and will be the number one booster of this city. I will be that mayor. But it's not just about leading and promoting. It's about getting things done. And so they also want a mayor that will get things done. I'm very proud of my track record as a former three-term city council member working with the business community to bring the Children's Museum downtown. So it's not out in Wayzata. It's sitting downtown because of our efforts. We put together the financing to build the new River Center, and I'm also very proud to have saved the city millions of dollars, such as consolidating our local pension and fire police pension funds with the state to save over $25 million since 1994. That's getting things done, and it's saving taxpayers' money. What we need, I think, in the next 4 years is not only a leader in the mayor, but to focus on five priorities: quality education, new jobs, affordable homes, safe and livable neighborhoods, and a fiscally responsible government that will hold the line on property taxes. If we can work together on those five priorities, we will make a great city even better. I'm Bob Long. I'd like to be your next mayor to keep St. Paul moving forward. Thanks.
Finally, former City Licensing and Inspections Director Bob Kessler. Mr. Kessler?
Well, Gary, again, thanks to you, to NPR, and to your listeners for this opportunity to talk about things that are important to the future of the city. I would take my 28 years of experience as an opportunity to continue to serve the city. I've always wanted to be mayor, and I've worked my way up in the organization. And it's like any American dream. You start at the bottom and you work your way to the top. Unfortunately, in the city of St. Paul, in order to become the chief executive officer, you have to win an election. And that's what this campaign is about. Based on the experience, the simple, clear vision, a city at work and a city that works, a mayor for all of St. Paul, an independent mayor that can work for the citizens and bring the community together. I believe there is divisions in the community. I believe that we have great energy in our new immigrants that a mayor must bring together. And I think that the opportunity is ripe to make this city even greater than we ever thought by using all the energies and all the determination that's available, not only from the mayor's office, but from the community and the neighborhoods as well.
That was Bob Kessler. Thanks to all of you, and good luck to all three of you.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Our guests this hour, Bobby Meegard, Bob Long, Bob Kessler, joining us over the noon hour. Three more candidates for the office of mayor of St. Paul.
I'm Lorna Benson on the next All Things Considered. How would you feel if you'd convinced yourself you're a writer, even though in reality you hadn't put pen to paper in years, but then discovered you're